In Parshas Ki Tisa, there's an interesting dialogue between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu starts off asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hoyidieni na estarkecha, please teach me your ways. The Gemara in Brachus goes on to explain that over there, he asked, how can it be that there are people that are righteous and bad things happen to them and are suffering? On the other hand, there are wicked people that are doing very well in this world. Eventually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes on to answer him, you will see my back, but my face you cannot see. Now, how exactly does that answer the question? What happened in this dialogue? That's question number one. Question number two. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Samech Amud Beis says that a person must bless on the bad in the same way he blesses on the good. The Gemara goes, what do you mean? We all know it's two different blessings. One is HaTov HaMeitiv, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just does good. And the other one is Baruch Dayan Emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the judge, the truthful judge, or the judge of the truth. So it's two different brachas. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi, Rabbi says, no, I'm referring to that they should have the same level of accepting them besimcha, lekablinu besimcha, you should say with the same level of simcha. And the question also here begs itself, what do you mean you have to say besimcha? You expect a person to say Dayan HaEmes when his brother or father passes away and he has to say it in the same level of simcha? That doesn't make sense. How could Hashem request us to do that? More so, we see that big people, they never say it besimcha. They're almost crying when they say it. So what is going on over here? So the Master Key to understand, I think, is hinted to this in the same Gemara by Rashi. Rashi takes it a bit out of context, and he doesn't say it literally means to be happy. Rashi over there says, he says the following, that a person should bless on the bad things, Belevav Shalem, with a full heart, in the same way he blesses on the good things. Meaning, just like when good things happen, we appreciate them and we accept them and we're happy in our hearts and we know it's for the truth, for the best, so too we should realize and say that we know this blessing that we say, Dayan HaEmes, Hashem is the truthful judge, even though what just happened really hurt us, but we know deep inside it's for the truth. And hence, we're saying it in the same full of heart that we accept what happened and we know that it's for our best and it's from Hashem. And that is the concept of this Dvar Torah I want to share with you, and we'll see how it answers many other ideas and brings them all together. At the end of the day, like we know, Kol Man David Rechman Al Tav Avid, which is an Aramaic saying, that means that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is for our best. We may not always understand it. Most of the times we don't understand why things are happening and why they're good for us. But there is no mistakes. Everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does in this world is for our best. And a Yid, that is a very basic idea a Yid has to live with, that everything Hashem does is for our best. More than that, the Chovas Levavos says that really, if you think about it, nothing's in our hands in this world. The only thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the key to is to consciously make a decision to do the will of Hashem and to want to do mitzvahs. But even if those mitzvahs will come into fruition, is not in our hands either. A person might want to perform the mitzvah of a lulav and esrog, but if he can't find one, he can't do it. That's only in the hands of Hashem. But whatever happens, we have to realize and live our life in a way that it's all for the best. The Gemara in Brachos says, based on the tefillah, that tefillas chana, when she davened to Hashem for children, it says, En tzur ke'elokeinu. And the Gemara Darshan is, don't call it tzur, call it tzayar. There's no painter like Hashem. So the simple understanding based on the Gemara is that there's no painter like Hashem, that he can paint something and then throw a live being into it, like a neshama, a soul into it. However, I saw B'Shem Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich, a beautiful idea that this painter has a lot more than meets the eye. Because why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu compared to a painter? Because if someone that doesn't know how to paint so well paints a picture, like a little boy is drawing a picture of a person, in 2 seconds you see the circle, you see the line, two lines on the side, you already know exactly what's happening. It's a picture of a person. However, if a painter like Rembrandt takes a canvas and starts throwing a blotch of red paint, a blotch of gray paint, etc., then at the beginning a person says, what's going on? He's totally messing up the canvas. But he will tell you, wait on the side, 2 more months, I'll finish the painting, and then any question you have I can answer. But towards the end, you chap and you understand exactly what's happening. Everything was required. The blotch of red paint was for contrast. The blotch of gray paint was for shading, etc., etc. Everything becomes clear. This is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running this world. And this is exactly and precisely the dialogue that Moshe Rabbeinu was having with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers him, "You will see my back, but my face you cannot see," he's saying, the back refers to in hindsight, meaning after the fact, after things will happen, and simply it means in Olam Haba, in the world to come, we'll look back and we'll understand everything. However, my face, in foresight, forwards, we won't understand why things are happening. As they're happening, we won't understand why. But we have to know it's for the best, and later on, we'll understand why it's for the best. According to this, we can also understand the Gemara in Psachim. The Gemara in Psachim, Daf Nun Amud Aleph, says, like we say in Alein L'Shabech at the end of each davening, we say in the future, in that day Hashem will be one and His name will be one. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? Only in that day Hashem will be one? We already know Hashem is one right now. The Gemara answers, the world to come is not like this world. In this world, we have two different types of blessings. When bad things happen, we say, Dayan Emes, Hashem is the judge of the truth. However, in the world, and when things are good, we say Hatova Meitiv. But in the world to come, there's only one blessing, Hatova Meitiv. What does that mean? According to what we're saying, it's 100% understandable. Because in the world to come, there is only one blessing. There's no room to say, oh no, Hashem is the judge of the truth, even though we don't understand why it's happening, it's hurting us, but we realize He's the truthful judge. No. Now we also understand why it's good for us. That's why there's only room for one blessing in the world to come. Already at this point, we've answered our questions. We understand the dialogue between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, you cannot understand everything now. You'll only understand in hindsight after the fact that happens, which is in the world to come. And so too, we understand the Gemara and Brachos, that a person has to bless Dayan Emes, even when bad things happen, but in the same way he blesses on the good, from the perspective that he does it with a full heart, that he totally understands deep inside that it's for Hashem, even though he can't see it at the time, why it's for Hashem. Before, I want to share with you another Gemara that will have a deeper understanding of what it's saying. At the end of the day, the concept that really comes out over here is that there's the absolute truth, the only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, and that's why He's the judge of this truth, and only He knows how it's going to prevail and what's going to happen, and we'll only see that in the world to come. And there is the truth that seems to be the truth to us, which we don't really understand. It's the way we live, but that's how Hashem wants us to live. There's the absolute truth and the truth from our perspective. When we see things happening that look horrible, that's the truth from our perspective. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to react like a human being that cares about what's happening around them. And it's also okay to cry. And yes, we can cry when we say the blessing, Hashem is the truthful judge, and something bad happens. But at the end of the day, deep inside, we have to know that this is for the best. We can't understand why, but we have to acknowledge that. In a weird way, I remember once someone was telling me about this movie called The Truman Show, that he was placed in a fictitious world, but he didn't know that. He was born in this world, it was all one big bubble, and they were filming him the whole time, and they wanted to see how he's going to react in all kinds of situations. In a weird way, I think that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu also planted us in this world. There's so many optical illusions, just like we spoke last week. That when a person gives, he thinks he's giving, but he's really getting. And also here, when a person sees things are happening, they're not really happening in the absolute truth. But it seems to us like they're happening, and we have to react the way the Torah tells us to react. With this, we can also understand another Gemara. The Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva was tortured. Now, Rabbi Akiva represented the epitome of learning Torah and teaching Torah. So the angels come up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, how can it be? This is Torah. This is the reward for a person learning Torah so much and teaching Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you better be quiet before I bring the world back to how it was before I created the world. I'll bring it back to Tov Vavo. The question is, what's going on over here? The simple understanding that Hashem just wanted to silence them, so He's being very strict, and He said, I'm going to totally corrupt the world. But a deeper understanding of this, says Rav Shlomo Kluger, with an unbelievable parable. The parable is that once upon a time there was a king, and the king wanted a very nice garment. So he went around and he found, lo and behold, the Jewish tailor that was the best of the best, and he gave him all the very nice materials, expensive materials of all kinds of sorts, and he said, please, use this to create for me the nicest garment you can. And indeed, after a couple of weeks, he came back to the king with the most exquisite garment. The king put it on, and everyone was so amazed. But of course, the people close to the king got jealous, and they told him, oh, for sure he pocketed a lot of the material. For sure he did. So the king had no choice but to go and confront the the Jewish tailor and he said, everyone's suspecting you of taking materials. Can you prove to me you didn't take any materials for yourself? So the Jewish tailor took the garment off the king and he started totally unraveling it. The king said, what are you doing? What are you doing? This is such a beautiful piece of work. How can you do this? So the Jewish tailor said, listen, the only way I can show to you and prove to you I didn't take anything is by unraveling the whole garment. The same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered the angels. You, it seems to you that things are unfair. How can it be that Rabbi Akiva is going through so much torture? But at the end of the day, it's all for the best and you can understand how it is that way. If you want to understand, I have to totally bring back the world to the way it was at the beginning, before it began. Until now was the Hesber of the Chassav Sofer, but I want to share with you and end off with the Chassam Sofer. He says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, you can see my back, he means sometimes even in this world, you don't have to wait till the world to come, in this world you'll look back and you'll understand why things happened, even though at the time they happened, they seemed to be something bad. And with this, I want to end up with one story like that that Rav Shach said about himself. At the time, his friends were all getting married, and he got engaged. And at those times, it was hard to dedicate your day for learning. So people were hoping that the families they marry into can help them financially a little bit. Some gave them a house, some gave them half a house. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, all the Bachurim asked Rav Shach, so what's your plan? How are you going to be able to learn all day and that? And everyone knew Rav Shach already at that point was the best in learning. It was unbelievable. But what happened? He said, I got nothing. They go, what? How, you got nothing? And he says, yeah, I got nothing. But it's all Mishamayim. I know she's my Bashert. She's meant for me. And Hashem will take care of me. He knew this was for the best. And Rav Shach says, and he spoke about this several times, he said at the end of the day, the Nazi Yimach Shemam came, and you could already feel that there was a war coming. And for me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the best for me. I had no Nisayon. Of course I was going to leave. Why should I take the chance and risk it? So I didn't have a test over here. It was no Nisayon for me. I straight away flew to Eretz Yisrael. But my friends, because they had a house, they had a reason to stay. It was hard for them to leave. So they all said, wait. Let's see if it really is going to be a war. Let's see. If it starts, then we'll go. Of course, unfortunately, it was too late at that time. And bizchut the fact that Rav Shach didn't have a house, he was able to leave to Israel and live in Israel. And we know he's one of the biggest Rosh Yeshivas, Marbitzei Torah. And Yei Ratzon, I want to end off with this idea that we realize deep inside, and we have this strong grasp of understanding that everything that happens is for the truth and for the best for us. In the world to come, we'll see it. But we should live our life knowing that, no matter what happens. And when you live like that, you also get the extra benefit of living beroga. You're never worried, oh no, what's going to happen? Because you know it doesn't matter what's going to happen. It's all for the best and has a ripple effect on our surroundings when we live in such a fashion. Good Shabbos.